Last but not least, we're looking at heavy metals and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but also from NHANES. What a great data set, right? Wow. And we have Dr. Shikhar Agarwal. He's a fellow in cardiovascular medicine at the Cleveland Clinic. He obtained his medical degree in New Delhi and subsequently obtained his Master of Public Health degree from Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's interested in cardiovascular and pulmonary outcomes research. So, welcome.
Thank you for the introduction. Since I happen to be standing at the blessed hour between the presentation and liberation, I'll try to make it quick. Okay, so I will be presenting my research titled Role of Heavy Metals in Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease. And of course, as it was alluded to, it's derived from National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. I have no relationships to disclose in regards to the study. The Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry has identified cadmium and lead among the top 10 environmental hazards for the chronic diseases. And exposures to heavy metals like these may come about as a result of smoking, as a result of pollution, or as a result of environmental exposures like water, dust, or occupational exposures. There is a marked paucity of data on relationship of heavy metals like lead and cadmium and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and these here quote a few small observational or in vitro studies. For example, Gray et al. In 2010 showed that sputum concentrations of heavy metals may be associated with inflammatory pulmonary processes. Kirschwink et al. In 2006 suggested that mechanism of airway inflammation with cadmium exposure may be related to increased oxidative stress. And Reynolds et al. In 2010 showed in vitro inhibitory effect of cadmium on CFTR expression and function, which is the gene that is responsible for causing cystic fibrosis, so resulting in increased mucus production and increased airway inflammation. So with that background, we conducted this study to assess the association of serum cadmium and lead levels with COPD. And in addition, we aimed to assess the role of cadmium and lead exposure as partial mediators in association between smoking and COPD. So just to give a background on what this data set is about, it's a National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey data set that is put out by Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's a non-institutionalized, nationally representative data set of civilian population, which is collected in a stratified manner. It has questionnaire, physical examination, and laboratory-related data, so an extremely rich data set for outcomes-based research. It has demographic, socioeconomic, dietary, health-related, examination data for medical, dental, and physiologic measurements, and, of course, a wealth of laboratory-related data. It is used to determine prevalence and risk factors for disease. The most of the data that is coming out now is a cross-sectional data, so it helps determine prevalence. It's actually become the basis of national standards for height, weight, and blood pressure. For our study, we used a large data set. We pooled five surveys, so the data set actually runs from 1999 to 2008, so a lot of patients. The outcome of our study was COPD that was defined by self-report of history of emphysema, current chronic bronchitis, and past chronic bronchitis. The smoking status was determined using both self-report and laboratory measurement. The never and the former smokers were using self-report. An active smoker, note that we don't use definition of current smoker because we think that active smoker is a little bit more specific in what we are trying to ascertain. That is self-report or serum cotinine greater than 10 nanograms per ml. Cotinine is a metabolite of nicotine. And serum cadmium and lead levels were measured using validated methods of plasma mass spectrometry. A word about statistical analysis. We use STATA version 10.0, use survey statistics, which are traditionally used to analyze complex semi-random surveys like this. We first pooled the data, calculated 10-year combined weights, and then subsequently used logistic regression analysis with COPD as a binary outcome. And the serum cadmium and lead levels had a pretty significant rightward skew, so they were log transformed. So this table here shows the results here. This is basically the demographic. Let me see if I have a pointer here. So if you can see here, there were 1,960 individuals with COPD, which translates into a projected population of 7.6% across the United States. And several differences are apparent here. One is that females were more predisposed to developing COPD. The mean age was significantly higher among the COPDers as compared to non-COPDers. And the majority of population in both these groups was composed of Caucasians, although COPDers were significantly higher in terms of that. This presents the other chronic diseases distribution between the two study groups. And as one would expect, you have all chronic diseases are more prevalent in the COPD group as compared to the non-COPD. In particular, if you look at composite cardiovascular disease, which is history of angina, heart attack, or stroke, it was about 20% as compared to just 7% in the non-COPD group. This presents the baseline characteristics stratified by smoking status. So, again, as one would expect, about 40% of our population of COPDers were reported active smokers as compared to 28.5% in the non-COPD group. And interestingly, what we looked at, the distribution of mean serum creatinine in each of these groups, the mean serum creatinine in active smokers was significantly high in both the groups, but it was among the COPDers, it tended to be more than what was seen in the active active smoking non-COPD group. This presents the unadjusted analysis of the mean lead and cadmium levels in our population. What we observed was that the both mean lead level as well as the mean cadmium level were significantly higher in the COPD group as compared to the non-COPD group. The differences persisted. If you stratify your population into males and females, although males had significantly higher lead levels, but if you stratified your population by smoking status, the differences between the COPD and the non-COPD group tended to vanish in the smoking categories. However, they did persist in the cadmium categories. This is the key result of our study, and in order to explain this, let me first bring your attention to the left column here. What we are trying to do here is create a logistic regression model adjusting for all clinical and demographic variables excepting for the lead and cadmium levels, and we are looking at odds ratios for COPD in these three categories, treating never smokers as a reference. And if you see here, not adjusting for any metal, you see that the former smokers have an odds ratio of 1.79 and active smokers have an odds ratio of 2.44. If you adjust your model for lead, the odds ratio for 1.79 becomes 1.78, which is not significantly different, and 2.44 becomes 2.41. Now, if you adjust for cadmium, look what happens. The 1.79 becomes 1.66, which wasn't statistically significant, although seems to be real. And this 2.44 becomes 1.72, which indicates that which was statistically significant if you compare it to 2.44. Now, if you pay attention to these numbers, what you observe is that this 1.72 is equal to the odds ratio in former smokers if you don't adjust for any metal. So cadmium, adjusting for cadmium per se alone explains this difference in odds ratio from going from former smoking to active smoking. And when you try to adjust for both metals together, including interactions which we accounted for, the odds ratio didn't really change from what we saw for cadmium. So certainly, just looking at this, cadmium seems to be the major player, and lead probably not so much. So since cadmium turned out to be significant in our analysis, we looked at if we were able to demonstrate dose response relationship between increasing cadmium levels and COPD. The first panel here kind of gives you COPD as a whole, and what we see is that the highest quintile, that was level greater than 0.74, had a significantly increased odds for developing COPD. If you break it down in terms of chronic bronchitis and emphysema and consider categories of chronic bronchitis, not really different in terms of trend as compared to the COPD group. But if you look at emphysema, it's a little more marked, certainly a good dose-response relationship. And secondly, the odds ratio is significantly higher. It goes up to 3.27, with beginning at quintile 4, and goes up to even higher, up to 5.26 in quintile 5. So kind of risk elevates at levels greater than 0.51. Now, in order to just conclude, what we observed was after adjusted analysis, serum cadmium levels were significantly higher in the COPD population that have passed an active smoking history. Serum cadmium levels may partially mediate the association of smoking and COPD. Serum cadmium levels greater than 0.51 micrograms per liter were seen to confer an increased risk for emphysema. And on similar note, subjects with serum cadmium level greater than 0.74 had increased prevalence of chronic bronchitis. Risk of COPD was increasing with higher levels of serum cadmium, and emphysema was seen to primarily drive that trend. Thank you.
I have one question. You go back to your adjusted the final model of cadmium and
this one.
And is this adjusted or is this crude?
This is adjusted.
Adjusted for what?
Adjusted for clinical, demographic, and smoking characteristics. So adjusted for all these variables that are listed here and smoking.
Okay, so it's adjusted for everything.
Do correct.
You look at this within levels of smoking, or you just have active.
The pack year information is hard to determine. It is derivable, but it's just a derived information. It's not very clear cut as to.
So the next one, did you look at that?
So that's quintiles of cadmium levels.
Right, so you're adjusting for smoking.
Correct.
Did you look at it within categories of smoking?
So, no, we did not look at the categories of smoking because I think the overall impression was that it was not adding in terms of, you know, we have already answered both the questions that.
Question. Your comment is there's some questions. Let's go for annotation about there's 15% of COPD associated with occupational infection. Why are you looking for only heavy metal? I mean, you haven't looked at the occupational effect of gas or fuel. So, Haynes data contains those information available.
So other occupational exposures or occupational job title?
Yeah, job title, the interest in occupation information there, and also the occupational risk factor, for example, have you ever exposed to gas, fueling?
So let me see if I understand the question right. What you're trying to ask is if there was any adjustment for occupation. So, you know, there are two important things. First of all, it's hard to assess in a cross-sectional survey as to, you know, what has been the past occupations of this person, and more importantly, as to what has been the role of a person in that particular occupation. And secondly, the reason we chose not to go into occupation-related data was because what we thought was that occupation is more of a mediator rather than a confounder in this association. So the association of cadmium with COPD, your occupation is more like a mediator rather than a confounder. So, I mean, your point is well taken. There are a lot of sources of cadmium and lead in the body, and all of them may independently be responsible for increasing your odds of developing COPD. But I think our prime question was a step further. Okay, once you get an occupational exposure, once you get a smoking-related exposure, now what happens?
So one question is serum cadmium is reflective of exposure over what time period?
So, again, a very interesting question, and I have a poster looking at urinary heavy metals, and people make a distinction in terms of serum heavy metals being a medium-term exposure. whereas urinary heavy metals as being a long-term exposure. So this, I don't think so that there are nationally available cut points as to if you have this much cadmium in your serum, then this is reflective of your exposure over last 6 months or 12 months. But I would say that this number is in the ballpark of about a year.
Mm-hmm. Aluminium levels are similar.
Yes. This one.
Yeah. So that would pair indicates to me that the smoking was a major source of cadmium exposure, and non smoking source of cadmium wasn't playing much role. So if you, I thought it'd be interesting to look at never smokers, and look for something else other than cadmium, because smoking.
So, you know, you're right in the fact that, you know, the Agency of Toxic Substances has identified cadmium is peculiar in the sense that up to 85% of the cadmium in a person's body comes from either secondhand smoke exposure or direct smoke exposure. So you're right in terms of saying that the majority of cadmium, so it's a peculiar metal as compared to other heavy metals. And I think, you know, the reason that we chose cadmium and lead is because A, there is some data that surrounds this this hypothesis, and B, the NHANES provides serum levels in a large majority of population. All the other heavy metals are measured in urine in a small subset. So in order to increase the power of our study, we kind of chose to restrict to these two heavy metals and see what their effects are. Yes?
I was interested in the effect in women once you correct for age.
Once you correct for age. So.
Well, you said there were more women with COPD. I wasn't sure whether that was age or deficit or not.
No, those are just, so those are just.
Right. So then I was wondering, once you adjust for age, whether you get the same result, the same smoking cadmium relationship, once you adjust it for age.
So, you know, be specifically. So, you know, we, of course, didn't look at gender-specific differences in this, but when you plug that into the model, when you put age and gender into the model,
so they're both in there.
Yes, so...
It didn't fall out.
No, it didn't fall out.